All right, g'day everyone. Welcome to the Tripod Live Show with Winnie and Clarkey. I am Dane from Clarkey's Rugby League column, joined every week from Jacob from Tripod Punting. My apologies, everyone, for missing the preview pod. You guys know what it's like with airports. That can be a little bit inconsistent. And I did see all your messages saying how hard it was to be missing the beauty from the show and have to look at Winnie's head for a full pod. So I fully appreciate that. I'll tell you what, though, Winnie, I was loving my Titans this round. It was a great round of action, but why don't I welcome you in to go through all of our bets for the round?
Sure will, mate. And isn't it funny that a week ago, I was the one celebrating the historic victory of my Dolphins. You were lamenting your Titans loss, but I was the one that was down in the dumps because we had a bad round on bets a week ago. 1-3, lost the mixed matchup. This week, my Dolphins lost a heartbreaker. But I'm happy. That's where my allegiances lie. That shows my dedication, guys. I'm happy because after a really rough start where we had the Knights against Parramatta, we'll get into that one. We won the next four straight best bets, 4-1 for the round, and we won the mixed matchup as well. And there were some crazy upsets to discuss along the way.
Yeah, it was a great round of footy. Just welcoming you in, the viewers. We've got Dan Lever. How are you going, mate? And Schneider as well. How's everyone going? Thank you for being here with us on this live show. And of course, all comments throughout the show are appreciated. With that in mind, Winnie, let's jump into the footy. We start with the Thursday night game. It was the Sharks versus the Cowboys. Sharkies got up 44-6. My MVP was Nicho Hynes, of course, receiving the inaugural Paul Green medal. And this one was over before it even really started. Am I right in saying that, Winnie?
You are. So the first positive for us was that I didn't back the Cowboys, because truth be told, you can always go back. I can't really make up what I said on Wednesday. Go back and check it. I said I was leaning to the plus 10.5. You know, if it's 12.5, maybe I play it there. So I was relieved to not be on the Cowboys here. And I don't have a great explanation for why they were so bad other than, you know, was that round 8 game, Knights, Cowboys in Townsville, was that more grueling than we realized? Because that was Saturday night. And then you had the two teams out of the game, Newcastle and North Queensland, played on short turnarounds. You know, this one's a Thursday, Knights played the next day, and they both played pretty good sides, like top four caliber in Sharks, and we'll get to Eels, and they were not even close. They got smoked from the beginning. So maybe poured it all in last week, couldn't back it up. Cronulla well and truly have gotten over that choke job. That's in the distance memory now, that choke job to the Warriors. They went into the bye. They've come out gangbusters since then. And Clarky, I think you asked me a week ago. I'm ready to answer your question now. You do have to pick Nicho at 6 for New South Wales, I believe. I think his form is undeniable, as you said. I've talked up Teague Wilton a lot this season. He was excellent as well on Thursday. And yeah, not much to say. 20-6 at halftime. And then the Sharkies come out. Is there any fight from the Cowboys? No, it's 24-0 to Cronulla in the second half. So revenge for last year's finals match, although not as much at stake, it was served.
Yeah, and Dan says, watching Nicho give his medal jersey in the sheds to Green East kids made me have something in my eye. Me too, man. He's a special human being, dedicating his match-worn jersey, if you guys didn't know, to Paul Green's daughter, and then the medal itself to Paul Green's 10-year-old son. Really, really special there. Winnie, you touched on the Cowboys and Knights game. Adam O'Brien shared those same sort of thoughts. I was listening to the Knights post-game presser, and he said, well, after I saw how the Cowboys played, I was a little bit worried for how we
the
go.
The master excuse maker. He can use another team's performance to explain his
nuts. And you know what? I think we will definitely get to his comments in that next game. But 12 minutes in, how's this? The Cowboys have completed one of two sets. And we just know how important not only momentum is, but not defending 10 sets in a row. It just zaps your energy. 32 minutes into this game, the Sharks only had 3 missed tackles. And I don't really remember looking at the Sharks and going, wow, they're on tonight defensively. I just think the Cowboys didn't offer too much. They're well off the pace from the start. And in the NRL, you know, even if you're the Penrith Panthers versus the Tigers, which we will get to as well, you can't miss the start in the NRL against anyone. It's too important. And I also feel like a lot of what the Cowboys built that was good last year was a result of their defense. I feel like everything started with solid defense. And from there, they were able to build into their attack and win gritty games. And this year, their defense just isn't really a staple of what they're doing. And their attack's not quite there either. I mean, I think every week we've come on here and said they've kind of looked like they're missing a bit of spark, which is strange for a side that has Nanai, Holmes, Drinkwater, but they're missing a little bit something. You touched on the Warriors loss. Well, the Sharkies make it 3 in a row past that. Can you call it a choke job? I think you can. It was a pretty bad game for them, but it's well and truly in the rearview mirror, and Sharkies look really, really good. Eels versus Knights opened Friday night footy. The Eels walked away with a huge 43-12 point victory. My MVP was Mitch Moses winning, but I think in this game, the entire Eels spine was awesome. Did you see it that way as well?
Unfortunately, and I could shout out a couple of forwards as well. I mean, Hopgood was excellent, even though Ryan Madison was scratched before kickoff, which should have helped us because, of course, we had our best bet on this game. And I hate to come out after a game and say, man, I regret that bet, because I know all the factors going in. I know the risks, you know, the pros and cons behind a play. And if I take it, then I've got to stand behind it. And certainly I can't get them all right. You know, you go historically, we get 40% or more wrong. And there'll be the occasional one that's ugly. But the reason I was really kicking myself after tipping the Knights plus 4.5 first half was that I was very wary of them cracking at some stage in the season. You just can't have that much cumulative fatigue and that many letdown losses. Like, it's going to catch up with you. I guess I just talked myself into it. As you heard on Wednesday, knowing the bye was around the corner, I thought maybe Newcastle had one more in them. Ponga, first start, that could re-energize. Jacob Saifidi only just got back in the team. And then, you know, line had dropped to 7.5. I got a 4.5 first half. So it's like a lot of little things. And I felt that it was a healthy line because I don't think there's that much between these two teams when they're both at their best. But for the spot, and, you know, and I've liked Parramatta, and I was on Parra just a week ago in Darwin against Brisbane, you know, and look how good Parra played this week and how bad Brisbane did. But I should have been more wary and I shouldn't have played it. So I'm sorry. I definitely feel like I didn't do good enough with that tip. It was never a contest. I mean, first half is 5-1, and it could have been more. Parra butchered a couple of other opportunities. So the best bet was blown away then and there. And you knew it would be more the same second half. Moses masterclass, as you said. And look, the Knights, I know everyone will blame Ponga. I wanted to repeat a comment from Dan Lever. He is a Knights tragic. And he said he does believe Ponga tries to be too flashy and ends up stuffing up what they're trying to do. I think there's a degree of truth to that he does feel like he has to come up with a highlight reel play every touch. But in defense, I mean, you can say the stats if you want to. He had a really bad night at the office. I won't go as far to say, like, Kalen's shocker cost him this game, because he was not alone as far as players wearing the red and blue.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Ponga really trying to create those flashy plays like you touch on is he doesn't really need to. It's not what the Knights' DNA is currently. You watch when Tyson Gamble plays and he just kind of competes on everything, right, and really gets into the contest. And that's not really KP's goal. It never has been. But that does seem to be what the Knights need most at the moment. Full transparency, I tipped the Knights here. I was really confident on the back of Regan Campbell-Gillard being ruled out. When I heard Ryan Madison was out, I was licking my lips thinking, well, this tip's just got a hell of a lot easier. But yeah, I mean, you look back and the signs kind of were here for this game to maybe go the way it did. I do think an element is the Eels played probably their best game of the year and the Knights played their worst, which you can't pick. And as a content creator, as you say, Winnie, hindsight is it's the devil. But the Eels spine was awesome. The difference between these two games was the spine. Don't want to single out Josh Hodgson. I would say aside from him, I didn't think he played as good as the other spine members did. For Kalen Ponga, I know you didn't want to touch on the stats, but 30 minutes in, I started to think, has he made a tackle yet? And I wasn't kidding. I was dead serious. And I went and had a look. At that stage, he had one tackle for 6 missed. I thought Jackson Hastings looked a little injured in some of his kicks and the way he got around the field. And Kurt Mann, obviously, he did have an abdominal injury. He was not anywhere near his standard in defense. And then on top of all that, Lachie Miller didn't really have his best game either. So the Knights' spine just wasn't there. The Eels' spine was. I will say Gutherson's hat trick was awesome, but possibly the softest I've ever seen in the NRL. A lot of scoots just from dummy half. This game was over in 30 minutes. And I think we should touch on Adam O'Brien's post-game comments there. And he cut his team a lot of slack and basically said, oh, we've had a good 4 weeks and, you know, that's okay. We just need to have a bye and I think we'll be back. But, I mean, they haven't won the last 4 weeks. They've had close losses and a draw, I think winning one. I think they've had 2 close losses, a draw and a win in the last 4 weeks. So to kind of look back on that as a positive and often an excuse, do you agree with that or would you disagree?
The funny thing is, mate, I literally said this about 1 or 2 weeks ago. I can already hear Adam O'Brien's voice down the track in the season when they're not in the eight. He'll still be going, oh, if we would have won those games between, you know, round 5 and round 9, yeah, we'd be in the eight right now. Like, it is brutal. Like, it's really hurt me because I feel like these close losses were the difference between winning at, you know, a 17-1 season handicap because, you know, in a parallel universe, the Knights could be a lot higher on the ladder. But not only did they not get the 2 points from any of those games, I feel like they didn't get the build the momentum off them either. So, yes, this team needed a bye. Yes, they have suffered a lot of adversity, but I don't need the excuse making already. Like, that was not good enough on Friday.
Not good enough. I see where he's coming from, though. I mean, I think in a world where KP, Saifidi, a few others uninjured, maybe they are on a four-game win streak. But Friday night finished with the Broncos versus the Rabbitohs. The Bunnies smashed him in the end, 32-6. My MVP was Campbell Graham. He had a hat trick and also set up another try. We speak about Nicho Hynes in the Blues squad. Before you give me your comments, is Campbell Graham in your squad as well?
Yeah, I had the same note. I had along the same lines as Nicho. That's undeniable. Although what annoys me, of course, is that Campbell Graham plays right center, and I tipped the Bunnies right winger to score a try, which was the only losing leg in my same game multi, paying $8.30. Had the Bunnies result, had the unders, needed Tane Milne, and they scored five of the first five tries on the right side, South Sydney. Three to Campbell Graham, as you say, and I'm sure he has to be there, as, you know, Turbo was ruled out this week as well, which we'll get to. And then even the other time when they actually passed outside Campbell Graham, Cody Walker had wrapped around. So in saying that, you can blame me as well because I picked Milne, who might be the slowest winger in the whole competition, actually got a chance to score, somehow couldn't get to the line when no one was in front of him. So close but no cigar on $8.30. This game to me started really intense. Like, it was 6-6 after 35 minutes. And I was noting that it felt like a finals intensity. I really felt like Brisbane was matching South Sydney. However, beyond that point, Brisbane could not match South. And that's kind of what I expected. The forward rotation's too strong with Haas being out, you know, like Cogger in there in the halves. So extra pressure on Reynolds against his old team. It was only 12-6 at halftime to the visitors. But when the Bunnies got two more tries shortly after the break, you know, it was over. So after getting blown away in the wrong direction with my Knights best bet, it was nice to have an easy watch for the South's head-to-head best bet. As I say, although we were cheering Milne that whole second half, we didn't get there. In the end, you know, we both probably fancied Johnston better, and Johnston didn't score, you know, either. So, look, we give ourselves a shot. That's all we can do. But as I said before the game, Souths are the hottest team in the comp. We've backed them 2 weeks in a row against Penrith and Brisbane when people had their doubts, but it's paid off, and I don't think many people are doubting Souths now.
And I think the exciting thing about Souths from a same-game multi perspective is, moving forward, I think you don't have to look strictly at their wingers. Previously, it was always just throwing Alex Johnston, but he actually hasn't scored in the last 2 weeks, and they've got some back rowers crossing, centers, Latrell at fullback. So it does open up a few options there. I completely agree with your comments regarding how close this was. And for the first 20 minutes, it was a real arm wrestle. And I went ahead and looked at the stats here, Winnie. I want to say, if I say to you, who is the three most important Bunnies players, who shoots out to your mind straight away?
Most important? What, you're going outside of like Campbell Graham?
Yeah, I wouldn't say Campbell Graham. I'd go Latrell, Cody Walker and Cameron Murray as their three most important to them really getting going. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. So that's right. And Damien Cook as well.
And Cookie, right.
Who the team is built around.
And then you look at the stats after 20 minutes, when Latrell had one run for 5 meters, Cody had one run for 3 meters, and Murray had been sin bin. So they all started the game relatively poor, but they handled that adversity. And by the end of the game, all three had great numbers and had put in a great effort and really, you know, lit up Suncorp Stadium, you could say. For the Broncos, though, this really does show me how important Payne Haas is. And for this reason, I truly do believe he is a million-dollar player. Without him, their entire middle struggled once the Bunnies got momentum. And not so much from the fact they missed Payne Haas's 200 metres, for example, but I often watch someone, even as good as Patrick Carrigan, take the next hit up after Payne Haas, because Payne's bent the line. He's got a quick play of the ball. Without Payne Haas, they didn't have that line breaker, so they weren't able to quite generate the momentum they need in the middle for someone like Adam Reynolds to be effective. So, yeah, without Payne Haas, I thought they really struggled. Million-dollar play, Winnie, I'm saying yes. Your thoughts?
Yes, and I mean, not just because of the market, because, like, you got a guy at your club for feeders on, what, 1.2, but I would agree that he's as good as any forward in the competition. I mean, Cam Murray, who you just mentioned wouldn't be far away either. But no, I wouldn't disagree if someone offered him that for sure.
Mm. Zane Simmons says, I went 7 of 8 in the tipping comp. I don't think anyone had the Tigers this week. Completely agree, Zane. And I think you might have been on the edge of your seat for this next one. It was the Raiders and the Dolphins, with the Raiders getting up 31-30. My MVP was Jamal Fogarty winning. He kicked the first field goal of his career. And this was a gritty old game, wasn't it?
Yeah. Now, it was nearly a crazy comeback 2 weeks in a row for the Dolphins. It's funny how round 9 began with 3 straight blowouts. And then this one was 18-0. And my first initial thoughts in this game was Raiders just look fresh off the bye. No, they're not at home, but Wagga is close to a second home. The crowd seems to be behind Canberra. The Dolphins clearly poured everything into the win last week. And I was just going, man, I wish I tipped that -4.5. Again, I talked about being close to that one and staying off it because of the Jack Whiten, you know, disruption, if anything. Yet the game flipped. And so, as you know, with it going to Golden Point, I'm very glad that I did stay away from Canberra. I'm just disappointed for the Dolphins. They didn't complete the comeback and win that one. But back-to-back tries, well, tries in the space of 5 minutes in the first half pulled the score back to 18-12. End up being down 10 at the break, I think. But then another pair of tries in a short space of time, like 2 tries in 4 minutes in the second half around the hour mark, had this game at 24-all. And, I mean, you were watching, if you're watching, you're seeing the images of the Sticky on the sideline and his dead set looks sick to his stomach, a nervous man watching his team capitulate after the week they've had and him being in the news. However, the Raiders hit the front again. And, look, I hate to single someone out, but Jennings, When is Edric Lee back? When is Tessie New back for the Redcliffe Kings? Because he spills the bomb. It's a gift. It's a try to the Raiders. But that's not the end of the Dolphins. Jabron plays it, and it's 30-all. A shot for a famous win. However, the Dolphins never really got that shot. I think that one point they made a mistake around midfield, and they were just under the pump. In fact, the Raiders might have let an opportunity slip. The Raiders had a couple of trips to the Dolphins' red zone before full time. Yeah. And didn't come away with even a field goal attempt. However, they get to extra time. And I just want to make one more point. The Raiders rolling out of their end. Fifth tackle, they go to run it. I don't know if anyone else talked about this, but I thought it was a really tough call on the Finns. I thought as Hudson Young was tackled, he lost the ball into the defender. However, referee ruled that it was knocked on by the Dolphins. So therefore, it was a zero tackle. And I knew that they wouldn't survive that. Fogarty did ice it to his credit. And quite a few players really stepped up in this one. So Whiten, after a tumultuous week, you could say, he had a performance that showed it meant a lot to him. And a lot of the forward pack for the Raiders were immense. Papali'i, Tapine, Hudson Young, Horsberg, all, you know, massive efforts. And I really think you can't overstate how important that win was for Canberra, not just banking those 2 points, but avoiding blowing that 18-point lead.
Yeah, blowing leads is disastrous for your fan base. Let me tell you first, as a Titans fan, I agree with you on that call in Golden Point. It was a real 50-50, and you just felt sorry for the Dolphins because it actually came about from them trying so hard to make the tackle. How I looked at this game really was, it was all around Jack Whiten. Do the Raiders sort of galvanize off his decision? And, you know, Ricky tells him, well, he doesn't think we could win a premiership, so let's go ahead and let's show him, you know, what we're made of. Or do they start to crumble? And it was, for that reason, it was a real coin flip for me. I thought the Raiders were awesome. Really early, they scored, I think, in the first 2 minutes, and they're up about, they had 18 points relatively quick. But I did say it live with the people I was watching with, don't rule the Dolphins out yet. And of course, no one's more qualified to know that than myself after witnessing what we did live at Suncorp. So it was an awesome fight back by the Dolphins. And I truly think, Winnie, that they can still take positives from this, because if they play that hard, and they try that hard, they will win more games than they lose this season. The key takeaway for me is they put themselves in a position to win. Now, they didn't come away with the win, but if they play like that more times than not this year, Dolphins fans, rest assured, you will win a large percentage of those games there. The Golden Point, though, like I remember last week, I think it was like Buzz Rothfield and some of the News Corp journalists said, we need to scrap Golden Point. It's so unfair. And, you know, sometimes teams don't even get a shot. And I started to think, I don't see that at all. And maybe I've got a soft spot for the Dolphins, but I did start to have those thoughts after this one. If you were in charge, Winnie, Golden Point, should we have called it full-time, 1 point each? Should we go the full 90 minutes? Should we have a golden try where you can only score in extra time, or should we keep it the same if you had to have a say?
Well, I've thought about this a bit. Anytime the team that doesn't win golden point that I wanted to win, I always think, oh, that's so cruel, should have been a draw. But the truth is there's no perfect system. There's an argument for everything. I actually think it's reasonable the way we've got it. I think people do get left feeling a bit empty if you just call it a draw after 80. I think give the teams a chance to play. And I think golden point as opposed to golden try just allows for some of these extra time periods to potentially be shorter, which, you know, is important in the length of a season. Would you change it?
I mean, I'm a little bit selfish. If I can get even one more minute of footy, I will. So I would like if you had to play the full 90 minutes. That way, both sides, you'd think in that time, would at least get a shot at a field goal each. But I can completely see the conundrum when a player gets injured in the 89th minute and was sitting there thinking, why are they still playing? They've got nothing left to give. We get to 90 minutes and it's a draw anyway. Then we just think, well, that was a waste of 10 minutes and a waste of injury. So, yeah, it's a tough one. There's no perfect system for it. But I tell you who was perfect. The mighty Gold Coast Titans. We go to Brookvale and we show the Seagulls what's up with a 26-10 point victory. My VP was David Fifita, who scored his first try of 2023. But I've got to be honest, when Manly scored in the second half, Winnie, I got nervous. and I'm sure you can see why, but your thoughts on this one, please.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, which just goes to show the Titans were not perfect. They did give Manly an opportunity to get back into this one. But I'm happy to say I saw this one right. Not only did we have a best bet on this one, the try handicap, it only won by 5.5 tries, which is pretty handy. But I said it as well that the Titans were very live for an upset here to really respond from their lowest low and to take advantage of good fortune, which was playing a turbo-less Manly, which I basically said on Wednesday, be shocked to see him line up. He didn't. The odds crunched in. For what it's worth, I tipped Titans $2.80 in my better multi. It only lost by one leg. So unlucky. We just needed the Knights to win. So, yeah. You know, again, multi lost 20-1 by that much. Not really. But at least, you know, I was giving you a possible good leg. The line closed 4.5 when Turbo was officially scratched. Very wet conditions. So when the game started, I'm thinking, you know, taking opportunities will be clear, will be very crucial, which your boys did, Clarky. In fact, led the game 16-2 at halftime. And I was watching with a mate and I said to my mate, leading 16-2 at halftime in the rain is like equal to leading 26-6 on a sunny afternoon. It's as big of a lead. So if they blow this one, like I'll just about give it away. But they did not let you just be comfortable in the second half, of course, despite Fifita having a great performance. And he's had a few, really. And since we're speculating on Origin teams, I would have him on my Queensland side in the bench. I think he's earned that spot, even though Queensland's got a lot of forward options. But that moment where Kelly nearly could have scored, it would have been 22-6, and he goes for it, the double movement. He couldn't help himself. Oh, yeah. And then Manly got the ball, went down the other end. Kepi scored. Then Manly got a penalty, cut the lead to 6. You said it. You were pretty nervous at that point, right?
Oh, I was. After what we saw last week at Suncorp, I think any fan for the team would be nervous. And on Dave Fifita, I think I should start there because I see still so much hate for Dave online. And I think people forget, he didn't ask for 1.2 mil. The Titans offered it to him, and you'd be silly not to take it. But what I love about Dave's game this year is we know he can sort of hang out wide and beat three defenders and score, you know, once or twice every couple games. But this year, he's actively going and looking for the ball. He's having hit-ups that he wouldn't have in the past. His tackles seem to be up over 30 every single week, which is great on the edge. So I'm really loving Dave and his involvement so far this year. I did tip my side, Winnie. I tipped them when Turbo was still 50-50, and I sort of presumed at that point they wouldn't risk him. I thought even if he's 90%, I didn't think Manly would risk him. Now, I did see us winning this game. I'll be honest. Like, I didn't just tip us because I'm a Titans fan, which I do sometimes, but I truly believe we are a talented football side. Now, I'm not saying we're a good football side, Winnie, because good football sides don't do what we did last round, but we are talented. There's just a lot of rough around the edges. But I go back to the Storm game earlier this year. I said to you that for big games, the Titans focus and do play well. Against the Broncos in the first half, against the Storm. When there's a challenge or something to respond to after something disappointing the week before, the Titans do it regularly. And so I will not sit here and say we're a good football side. That's not fair to people who follow the Panthers, Bunnies, etc. But we are very talented. I thought the decision to start KO Weeks at fullback was a little bit strange. And it could have been a case where Anthony Seibold's maybe trying to outthink the room a little bit. I'm not going to criticise him because he's a head coach in the NRL, but he did do the same earlier this year, starting KO Weeks at 5'8", the head of Cooper Johns. So maybe he's seeing something there. We're not, but I just think I would have moved Ruben Garrick to fullback. You know what you're going to get, a fair bit more reliable. And KO Weeks did have a few, let's say, nasty touches and knock-ons. But honestly, Winnie, I'm really proud of my team, but I wasn't. Last week's loss still stings so bad that I wasn't really happy at full time. I was, all right, we've got a win. We can start to move on now. But I was still really stinging from the result. And you know me, like you would have seen at Suncorp, but usually I ride every play of the game. I wasn't really into this one. And yeah, truth be told, that Dolphins loss stung a lot more than it should. But yeah, all in all, a win's a win. You've got to be happy, especially when you're a Titans fan. Tigers versus Panthers. Now, this is, I don't think the Tigers won a game. Was it 271 days, Winnie? It was a long time. But they win 12-8 against the Penrith Panthers. And my MVP was Luke Brooks. He was the best halfback on the field. And that field included Nathan Cleary. Did you have any hint, any suspicion? Did you see this result coming, or did this shock you like it did most people?
No, it's the upset of the season. If we want to recall candidates, Dolphins were an 18.5-point underdog in round one. Not many people saw that coming, that win over the Roosters. So, you know, that probably was the upset of the season. Of course, it was then. The Raiders winning at Suncorp in round six, they were 17.5-point underdogs. So that was close. Some people might have been more shocked by that one. But I think the Tigers being winless this year, and of course, the Panthers being back-to-back premiers, and the line was 19.5 at the start of the week. Mind you, it came in a little bit with the rain. That is the craziest result so far of the season. Now, I will say, rain can be an equaliser. If I'd known at all, had an inkling how bad that weather was going to be at Bathurst, I would have had no hesitations taking the points with the Tigers. Plus, there were murmurings that the Panthers were going to rest some players. I heard they what was it due to? Maybe a couple of players, extra players were named in the New South Wales Cup side. There were certainly rumours. And, you know, Cleary's out here not even kicking goals, so it's clearly not 100%. But I don't want to make excuses for Penrith. Let's give credit to West, who once again won the second half. They are ridiculous in second half games, in second halves of games. They don't go away. And watching this game too, I'm not making this up. The Tigers were down 8-6 first half, like still plenty to go, 50 minutes to go. And I said, there's a chance of an upset tonight. You just sensed it with how terrible the weather was and the intent that the Tigers were showing. Now, we need to put our hands up and cop it, because we both said, not only gave the Tigers no hope this week, but we both said we would move Brooks on. We wouldn't persist with him. And look, you may say even a blind squirrel finds a nut occasionally, but I want to give credit where it's due for Brooksy, kicking not one but two 40-20s in those conditions. He had a try assist. He had a match-winning performance. And at this point, do you put Brooks in the Blues team now ahead of Cleary, now that he has got that head-to-head? You know, I'll throw that out to the comments section. But in seriousness, is Appy Coruscant any chance for the Blues, or has the Tigers gone too badly and South's doing too well with Cookie? He certainly had a great game against his old club. Clem wound back the clock. Second game, but Buller at fullback stood up under pressure, and Alex Twoll off the bench. He was massive, and man, I would love to see Twoll, because we're going to see the Tigers next week at Sunday at Magic Round. I want to talk about that after this game. But man, if we could see Twoll score a try, his first career try next week, that would be amazing. Of course, the Tigers didn't make it easy on himself. Wakem missed a makeable conversion and then a penalty from in front. But West just could smell that first victory, and they were so desperate. I'm genuinely happy for them. I've said, they're not as bad as people think. And again, people might take away from the win, say, oh, the weather, Penrith's not full strength. Just give the Tigers their flowers this week. This feels like Easter Monday last year, maybe even bigger in terms of a pressure release win.
And, you know, the problem is for people that go, oh, but they were without Fisher-Harris, Lanou, Cleary's not healthy. What do you want the Tigers to do about that? Do you want them to take it easy and lose because of that? Like,
the Tigers are missing guys too. Right? Adam Dewey, you know.
Yeah. Exactly right. You can overthink it. My brother sent me a 6-unit multi before this. He was really keen on Panthers -5.5 and Stephen Crichton anytime. And I didn't know the weather, but when I heard the weather was bad, I said to him, I think you should be a bit nervous here, because when we talk about bad weather for footy, that wasn't bad weather. That was possibly the worst weather of the last. The last one I remember raining that heavy was like that Anzac Day between the Roosters and Dragons when it started to hail and the players had to leave the field. That was torrential, and it was non-stop, apparently from 9 a.m. So absolutely horrible weather. Touching on Coruscant quickly. Well, I thought when Jack Whiten was still a chance for the Blues, he had to be your 14, just because I couldn't find room for him in the centres. But now he's retired. That does open up the 14 spot there for Coruscant and the chance the Blues do go the two-hooker model. Call.
Because if the Blues picked Luai, you'd have to pick Nico at 14. But if you pick Nico at 6, and now the Panthers have come off back-to-back losses, and I do think Nico's form is so good, it exceeds what Luai gains in the combination, because Luai's form hasn't been good enough. If they pick Nico at 6, they're not picking Luai at 14. So you're dead right. They may actually still consider Coruscant in that spot in the 1-2 punch with the hookers.
Yeah, it's so tough to make the Blues side at the moment. Maybe even harder than just to make the Australian side, if we're being completely honest. Someone like Campbell Graham, for example. Well, because those Maroons players, it's completely freaky. But we have ended up with situations like Campbell Graham, where he's played for the Kangaroos, but he wasn't considered for Blues when he was eligible. And that was when I don't think Latrell Mitchell looked.
But I think, but like Campbell Graham wasn't in like the you know, the World Cup final side. He made the squad. Fair play. Yeah. So it just depends on certain positions. At this point, you know, we just mentioned the Manly game. Turbo didn't play. This is my opinion. I actually think players like Tom Trbojevic and Kalen Ponga should take their own hat out of the ring for the benefit to their club and say, look, I've missed a lot of important games for my club. Someone like Turbo, if he goes out for the season, his club's cooked. Same for Ponga. They're so highly paid. There are very capable options for their state, so they're not really letting their state down. If Ponga says, let Walsh have it, if Turbo says, let Graham have it, I think you can respect that. Look, if a young player gets picked for Origin, or if Graham makes Origin, I think your club is generally happy for that player, because they're going to become a better player by playing on the highest stage. But Ponga is not going to become a better player. He's played enough rep games. So is Turbo. So I think there should be a selflessness factor that they actually put their club first. I don't know if the players think that way, though.
I know Latrell did last year, but yeah, it was a rare situation. That really got picked up by the media.
And Latrell got criticised, as he pretty much will always, for no matter what he did. But I admired his decision to just say, I've been overseas rehabbing an injury. I just want to focus on South. So maybe others should take a leaf out of Latrell's book. Now, before we get to Sunday, can I do the Magic Round announcement?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got some tickets to give away, mate. So this is exciting. Just put a little graphic on the screen. Okay, as I said on Wednesday, we, in 7 days' time, we're going to be there at Suncorp Stadium with a massive tripod crew. We've got heaps planned. It's going to be a magic day, the biggest ever pod gathering in 9 years. And as I promised, going to bring some followers of this very pod along, and we're going to give them away. Now, already have invited a bunch of legends from the group, already gave a couple extra tickets away in the group to people who own old school tripod shirts. I said you had to comment keen on the Wednesday preview. So if you're one of those people who did, and you'll need to show a screenshot later to show that, if you're one of those people who did, get ready. Here's your chance to be, I'll give about three people a ticket right here and now. Comment if you're watching. I want you to comment. And if you can make it, guys, it's a logistical challenge, let me tell you, get this big of a crew along. But if you can make it, comment Tripod Magic. And the first three answers that come in, Tripod Magic, I'll get in touch with you and you can come along on Sunday. We'll have more to give away on the Wednesday live pod, and stay tuned in the Tripod group as well. We'll probably give away a few more in there too. I can't, and if you don't win a ticket, we'll let you know what bay we're sitting at. You can obviously move around the stadium. You can come and say g'day. Unfortunately, Clarky, you're not going to make it up for this one. You're still scarred from your last trip to Queensland, but it's cracking day. And if this one goes well, we'll definitely do more in the future.
Mate, I hope this one goes off, because I am really excited for future iterations. I'm sure people can appreciate it, particularly dads out there. Mrs. is, I think, 30 weeks pregnant now. So 32 weeks by the time Magic Round rolls around. So presents a little bit
we
of
understand
a challenge
we understand for sure.
Alrighty, absolutely. So yeah, we've got a few comments here saying tripod magic, and I'm excited to do more of these sort of giveaways as we get closer.
So Zane and Ben, they're in. I think there's still one more spot. We'll struggle to say that, to pronounce that name, but these people can get in touch with us. We might have just given away three more tickets to next weekend. I can't wait. I'm so excited. It's going to be busy for me organizing, but I'm really looking forward to it.
You're a busy man. I think just to wrap up this Panthers-Tigers game, the Panthers do seem to have a little bit of a weakness in the wet winning, because St. Helens game, Broncos game round one, and I'm not sure if you can call this a wet game because it was like a torrential rain game, but if there has been a weakness in the past 3 years, then that seems to be it for Penrith playing in wet weather footy. And I mean, their side of the last 3 weeks wouldn't have done what they've done in the last fortnight in losing to the Tigers and losing to the Bunnies in the final 5 minutes. So they're certainly back to the pack. Matty Blanche says, Clarky, are you naming your child Big Tino? Maybe. If Tino, I was going to say if Tino scores first next week, I will. Oh, but I'm
I thought you going to say if they win the comp. Like, then you got to consider it.
Well, I mean, the odds of him scoring next week first, I thought were quite low. But, I have lost bets before, and there is tattoos on my body that you can't see. I can't show you on the program because it's not an R18 plus one. I've certainly lost some bets before and gone through with my word. Just before we touch on these Sunday games, Warriors, Roosters, Dragons, Bulldogs, we have a clip from Tristan from Top Sport. He's going to give us a bit of exclusive market insight and tell us
G'day everyone, it's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, and some big upsets in the weekend that's just finishing at the moment. I'm doing this in the halftime break in the Bulldogs-Dragons game, but obviously the big upset was the Tigers knocking off the Panthers. And from our perspective, I was actually at a wedding last night, and when I looked at the result afterwards, I thought, wow, this is going to be a fill-up, but it actually wasn't. We had a very, very minimal loss on the game, but I think it might have just been because the Panthers were probably so short in the head-to-head, there just wasn't a lot of activity on that head-to-head, and the line did shorten up significantly for the Tigers throughout the course of the week. There was obviously a few rumours that Cleary may have been out. There was also the wet weather there, so the plus did look an appealing bet in hindsight. So it was a little bit frustrating from our perspective. The Titans, though, they got back in the winner's circle, which was very, very exciting from our perspective. That one was a winning result. That was something that was probably our best result of the weekend. The other game that was really tight was the Raiders against the Dolphins. That one had a lot of multis in it. We laid the minus quite heavily, so it would have been a big result if the Dolphins could have come back and pinched that one, but wasn't to be. Got out of trouble. But probably the biggest go I've seen in recent times was the Broncos against the Rabbits. That was an absolutely massive go where that game opened up at Pickham. That was after we knew the three players that weren't going to be backing up. So the Broncos were actually favourites at some operators before that news was known. And they went from $1.85 into $1.60 odd, I think. And absolute one-way traffic. The line moved 4 points. And it was a very, very tight game until halftime. And then the Rabbitohs way too good in the second half. So that was the ugly result of the weekend from our perspective. Some good footy. We go to Magic Round next weekend. Look forward to seeing a few of you up there. And hopefully you're back to winner over the weekend. And of course, gambled responsibly.
Tristan, he's a little bit of a party boy at the wedding there. But, presumably had a few beers at the wedding. But not hydrated this week, like last week when he... What's the guy there? Do you remember the clip? How he was drinking the water afterwards?
Yeah, I think he's just relieved now that the Titans got a win. And maybe have got their season back on track.
I love it. Stay hydrated. Warriors and Roosters. The Roosters win 0-14. The Warriors become the first side to be held to 0 points in 2023. And my MVP was Nat Butcher, Winnie. He had 58 tackles for zero missed. And I know this is an unpopular opinion, but people can't change my mind. He would honestly fit into the Blues outfit just because you know he's not going to let you down and he's not going to miss tackles. He's such a good and really an underrated player. How'd you see this game?
I want to give you credit for the butcher call in a minute. This was another one played in poor conditions. My best bet was -5.5. Over under 5.5, how many people do you reckon DM me today to say, oh, it's raining in Auckland, it's really pouring down, do you still want to bet the Roosters? And I told each and every one of them, yep, I still feel confident despite the fact the weather was bad, despite the fact Warrior Hargraves was ruled out. Just felt this was a great spot for the Roosters. And I'll give a tip to others out there. Feel free to tag me in any of the comment threads, because if I can, I prefer to reply to people in the threads so that I'm not having the same conversation with a bunch of people in DMs, so everyone can read it. I try and save my DMs for, you know, people who need something after a sign up, if they're supporting the show, or any nudes that are coming my way. You know, we've got to keep the inbox clear for those. Look, the Roosters seem really connected. After giving up three tries in an 8-minute period in Anzac Day and surviving a scare, you come into New Zealand, you hold them to zero. It was really impressive. Thankfully, the mixed matchup, I don't think I mentioned the exact score yet, but we needed the Roosters to outscore Manly. So thankfully, your Titans defended so well and held Manly to only 10. Because, as you said, the Roosters got just 14 when Tupanua scored. And speaking of Butcher, and you know, Tupanua comes off the bench, he scores a try, and Butcher scored the other one. Angus Crichton came off the bench too. I'll give you credit because you messaged me and said you weren't on the live show, but you would actually go a Butcher brother to score this weekend. And I said to you, just be careful. I don't know how many minutes they're going to play with Crichton and Tupanua off the bench. You know, it's funny, the Roosters' best two players might have been Nat and Egan Butcher. So what depth they've got. I'm just going to put this out there as well, as the Roosters just won their first game away from Sydney on a weekend where Brisbane lost by 30, where Penrith lost to the Tigers. Could we get the first ever Roosters-Rabbitohs grand final? You know, after a weekend like we just watched, you definitely couldn't rule it out.
It's tipped year after year by so many content creators, experts in the field, but it's just, for one reason or another, we've never got it. We've had excellent finals games where I think seven players were sin bin in an absolute barn burner. But yeah, I think if it's not going to be your side in the grand final, you want it to be a rivalry matchup. And yeah, that would be one. Tough conditions for both sides, and neither side really adapted to it, Winnie, and was able to get going. I look back on this game, and like, no offense to the Roosters, it's an amazing win to keep the Warriors to zero, but it's kind of just noteworthiness. I think the Warriors will move on and be fine next week, and I think the Roosters were expected to win. They did that, so they'll just move on and continue with their season. That being said, the Warriors had won their last three in New Zealand, so I probably expected a little bit more of them, and the Roosters did hold them to zero. Thank you to Nat and Egan Butcher, who combined for 111 tackles with zero miss between them. That is incredible. And they even kept Satili Tupanua out of the back row. He had to come on and play at prop, which is somewhere he's never played before in the NRL. I think that sums it up. But yeah, I think the Warriors will look back on this and think we could have built a bit more pressure. We didn't. Bulldogs versus Dragons. The Doggies get up 18-16. And the Dragons had quite a great record at Wynn Stadium prior to this game. I think they'd won their last six or seven at the stadium.
Yeah, heard that. About six in a row, yeah.
Not only did Doggies snap that, though, Winnie, I'm looking over my notes now. I'm thinking I've been a little bit too negative towards the Dogs, because post-game I heard a stat. I think it was seven of their regular 17 are still out. So a great win under those circumstances indeed.
It was a great win. It was a gutsy win by the Dogs, and it was a highly entertaining game. And I think it was Zane in the comments earlier saying he tipped 7 out of 8. I'd like to think that it helps being a tripod follower sometimes, because, well, look, most people, the Rabbitohs were the favourites, but plenty of people might have liked Broncos. We told you Rabbitohs. We were on to the Titans for upsets against the Seagulls. And, I mean, nobody had that Tigers upset. But, again, this game, a lot of people would have been on the Dragons, but not us. We liked the Bulldogs, and the best bet was +4.5. And I've got to say, it was just nice to watch a Dragons game and be cheering against them, because they just make mistakes that hurt themselves. So it was nice to be on the other side of that. We also lost Matt King prior to kickoff, so that was a big loss considering the cluster of injuries of the Bulldogs. So I was a bit worried. But I'll tell you this, like, look who's out for the Dogs. Jacob Carraz, obviously, Addo Carr. But they won this game thanks to brilliance from their outside backs, namely Jake Avarillo. Scores an 80-meter try off an offload of one-legged Burns, who was unbelievably brave and had so many important moments. In fact, the assist to not one but two Avarillo tries, both involving Avarillo burning Sloan, who can fly himself. That's the difference in the game, really, when you can score twice from inside your own 20 thanks to just the burning pace of one star. And like, Hayes Perrin was really good. He's not a superstar, but at an important position, he does a job for the Dogs. And that was the key. Everyone was putting in for the Dogs, even though they are so depleted. I thought then you got the class of Marnie and Burton. I'm really enjoying that that kind of partnership bloom. And another factor was it was a Serraldo coach team against a Griffin coach team. That was another reason why I liked being on the Bulldogs. They had to fight hard at the end, especially when, you know, Waddell was sent to the sin bin, which maybe was harsh because he thought he had the ball. So he didn't really understand why Lomax was standing up and ripping it off him, that the ref had called it being a strip. The Dragons did score as well while the Dogs were down to 12. So they really had to hang on. They did, which is nice, not only for our best bet. But after the Dogs had lost three in a row by double digits, it's a big win for them. And kind of, I don't know, this really disappointing Dragons season drags on.
We'll say for Cameron Serraldo, when he was under Hook at the Panthers, he tried to quit. Gus Gould said, you need to go to lunch and you listen to your assistant coaches, Griffin. He did that completely ignored what they had to say. And at the end of it, Serraldo said, again, I want to quit. I don't want to work with him. So there is a bit of history there. For the Dragons, I mean, their fans, Winnie, have been giving it to me this year ever since they beat my Titans in round two, but also because I tipped them for the spoon. And this week, when I tipped the Dragons, I had, I want to say, upwards of 20 messages and comments. Oh, you finally tip us. You finally tip us. Well, this is why I don't tip you. Because this is exactly why I don't. You're at a home stadium you've won your last six at against a Bulldogs side missing upwards of 40% of their regular team. And you just come up with some silly errors that when you look at this Dragons side on paper, they're not bad at all. But the spine just doesn't click. And you have to wonder what's going on there. Is it the fact that Ben Hunt loves Anthony Griffin and he wants him to stay and some of the other players maybe don't? And I know for a fact because I've spoken to a Dragons player who told me half the team don't really like Anthony Griffin, which is super interesting. So I just wonder how long they can persist with a coach that 50% of the playing group don't like and when the results aren't coming either. Simple as that. The Dogs, it was a scrappy game, but I think the Dolphins are the class A example that you don't have to be perfect to win in the NRL. You just have to compete and try your best. And the Doggies certainly did that. And the Doggies are another side winning where they're kind of in a holding pattern, right? The Dragons more so coach focused. The Doggies, well, they still got half a spine that they're tinkering with. Hayes Perham continues to improve, but we see Flanagan dropped and Olapau comes on and plays a bit of hooker, a bit of half. So both sides in a holding pattern. The Dragons are the better team on paper and they should have won this game, in my opinion. You go to that last 5 minutes and the Bulldogs give a seven tackle set and it was either a knock on or it was something silly in the last 5 minutes where they were nursing that 2-0 lead. The Dragons had multiple opportunities, but they just don't have the confidence at the moment. I think their confidence is really hurting. Maybe they need a few fresh starts or a few fresh players. Maybe a fresh coach. I'm not an expert, but something a little bit different there at the moment because they do look a side down on confidence.
There's a big difference between these two teams. Like, yeah, it could have gone either way. In fact, look back at the last four Dragons matches. They could have won all four of them, but they come away winning none of them. It's tough. However, the Bulldogs have got so many good players who are not playing right now. You look at, you know, like I said, Adokar, Kiraz, Kikau, Thompson is out. Like, you can really bolster this side. Obviously, they know they're getting Crichton next year. So the future is bright for one of these teams. But who is coming in that's going to improve this Dragons side? Like, that's the major issue. And I hate to say it because I already know it would be tough to be a Dragons supporter. Well, I guess there'll be a few at Suncorp next week because that is the first game of the triple header Sunday, Dragons-Tigers. Hey, Tigers, we just saw what they did yesterday. And this Dragons-Bulldogs game may not have been pretty, but it was entertaining.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's already a tough game to tip just off the top there. Yeah, I feel like I was quite negative toward the Dragons there. I guess to recap what I've said, guys are a good team on paper. You're close to winning these games, but the confidence to just get over the line isn't quite there at the moment. And that's not to say it's gone forever. Maybe it's a few things to tinker, and I think the Dragons can win a few games of footy this year. That pretty much wraps us up, doesn't it, Winnie, for our round nine recap. So with that being said, we want to say thank you very much to everyone who's been here to recap all the action with us. And of course, tell your mum, tell a mate, tell your dog, tell everyone. Next Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., we'll be live on all the places we are now to preview Magic Round, which promises... Not Magic Round, sorry. No, it is Magic Round next week.
We'll be there. It is Magic Round, mate. Comes up
Magic
fast.
Round. Yeah, it does. And we can't wait for it, guys. So we'll see you Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Thank you very much.
Chance to win more tickets then too, guys. Cheers. Have a good week and Lego.